Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for June 10th, 2014. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll talk with Nancy Hines about a copper-binding enzyme that promotes metastasis of breast cancer cells. Like many other types of cancer, breast cancer cells can leave the primary tumor and establish secondary tumors at other sites in the body. This process of metastasis requires that the cancer cells leave the primary tumor, migrate to distant sites, and then invade these distant tissues to establish the secondary tumors. For many types of cancer, it's the metastases that cause death, even if the primary tumor can be removed or treated. Cell motility is a critical component of metastasis, and there are a lot of factors that can prompt cells to migrate, including extracellular signals like growth factors and hormones. Most of these extracellular signals produce changes in intracellular reactive oxygen species, which leads to oxidation of certain proteins and cell migration. A new study from Nancy Hines' group reports that a copper-binding enzyme called MIMO promotes cell migration and metastasis by altering the production of reactive oxygen species in subcellular compartments that are involved in cell migration. And they also show that the oxidation status of proteins involved in cell migration is subject to control by MIMO. Hines spoke to me from the Friedrich Miescher Institute for Biomedical Research in Basel, Switzerland. Welcome, Dr. Hines.
Well, hello, Annalisa, and I'm happy to be recording this today.
What led you to look at the function of this enzyme, MIMO, in cell migration, and specifically in the context of breast cancer cell motility?
So this goes back a number of years because I've been working on breast cancer and particularly on the ERBB2 receptor tyrosine kinase for about 20 years or even longer. And this kinase is overexpressed and it's actively signaling in about 20% of human breast cancers. And patients with ERBB2 overexpressing breast tumors, they tend to have a more aggressive metastatic disease. So based on this, we wanted to uncover new proteins that associate with the active ERBB2 and that promote cell migration and metastasis. And so we identified MIMO as a protein that interacted with the activated receptor. And we found that it was required for motility. That was, in this case, we induced motility with a ligand that could activate the ERBB2 receptor. So in that first paper, we named it MIMO for mediator of ERBB2-induced cell motility. So when we discovered MIMO as a phosphotyrosine binding protein, it was an uncharacterized protein. Looking at other sequence species revealed that putative MIMO encoding genes were present in species representing all kingdoms of life. So this means we found MIMO in bacteria, archaea, and eukaryotes. And moreover, there was a high degree of conservation. So it's for all of these reasons, we decided then to continue our work on MIMO and try to understand what it was doing downstream of ERBB2, and in general then what it was doing in respect to migration and metastasis.
So what is MIMO? What does it do biochemically? What sorts of reactions does it catalyze?
We began a collaboration with Dan Leahy, who heads a structural biology lab at Johns Hopkins. And MIMO's crystal structure revealed that it is structurally homologous to a class of enzymes that have iron-dependent dioxygenase activity. And so we were initially very excited about that, but that excitement was really very short-term because, first of all, only bacteria have these enzymes. And secondly, the putative active site of MIMO was clearly distinct from this family of bacterial enzymes. So this structure study did advance our knowledge about MIMO, since it did suggest it might be a metal-binding enzyme. So then a few years later, when a new postdoc, Ivan Navarta, joined my lab, he looked at the active site of MIMO, and he suggested to me that it might be an oxidase. And so he showed that MIMO had copper-reducing activity. And then we found that only when MIMO was bound to copper could it generate reactive oxygen species.
In your in vitro biochemical assays, MIMO can produce reactive oxygen species, ROS.
Right, that's correct.
Is that what it does in cells?
Yes. And so we also used RhoA as a substrate. And we showed that copper-bound MIMO can oxidize RhoA. And for this work, we looked specifically at RhoA, not only because it's a well-known a protein with a well-known role in cell motility, because also a former colleague of mine, Ali Badash, who is also an author on the paper, he had published that Memo and Roe interact in cells. So for the work in our new paper, we used purified proteins and showed that the cysteine residues in Roe were more oxidized when it was incubated with active copper-bound Memo. So Memo can produce superoxide, but Memo can also oxidize proteins like Roe.
How does that activity then promote cell migration?
So in the paper, we showed that in cells lacking Memo, there is less ROS in specific locations of the cells, namely the lamellar protrusions that form in response to growth factors, and that are known to be important for migration. And I should mention here that this makes up only 3% of the ROS in the cell. So we could say that it seems to control ROS levels in these specific locations in the cells, potentially via controlling NADPH oxidases. So in the paper, we looked at NOX1, and we saw that it did have less activity in cells that were missing Memo. But now in the future, it will be very important to uncover the underlying mechanism. So we don't know yet whether or not Memo forms a complex with the NADPH oxidases, and there are some other potential mechanisms whereby it could control NOX activity. But this remains to be sorted out in the future. But we think that it is very likely that Memo influences the redox potential of specific substrates in cells like Roe. So when cysteine residues in Roe or another Memo substrate get oxidized, this can then change the activity of the protein. And in fact, in the Burridge and Campbell labs, they've shown that two cysteine residues in Roe are subject to redox control and that this influences the activity of the protein. And using our mass spec approach with purified Roe, we could see that these cysteines are oxidized by Memo. And in fact, we have unpublished work that we didn't bring into the manuscript that shows that in Memo knockdown cells, the kinetics of Roe activation are slower. So it is possible that Roe is one of Memo's cellular substrates and that Memo has a role in influencing Roe activity. And we think it's very likely that Memo has other substrates in cells. In our paper, we showed that Schick, which also interacts with Memo, is more reduced in cells lacking Memo.
In this study, you show that Memo is required for migration of cultured breast cancer cells and that it can promote metastasis in a mouse xenograft model using human breast cancer cells. Does Memo activity play a role in breast cancer in human patients?
Yes, of course. This is a very interesting and exciting question. And I just want to recap a little bit what we did with in vivo experiments with the breast cancer model that we were working with before I say a little bit more about the data on the human material. So Gwen McDonald and Tatiana Smirnova in the lab, they showed that the primary breast tumors grow with the same kinetics whether or not Memo is present. But using intravital imaging, they could show that Memo knockdown tumors have fewer motile cells, and there were fewer circulating tumor cells, as well as spontaneous lung metastases. So, of course, we want to know, does Memo have a similar type of a role in human tumors, and can it promote metastasis? To answer this, what one does is, first of all, start out by looking at Memo expression level in primary human breast tumors. And we did this analysis on more than 400 primary human tumors, together with Manuela Vecchi in the group of Paolo Di Fiore in Milan. And we saw, first of all, that in comparison to normal breast tissue that has some expression of Memo, Memo was elevated in more than 40% of the tumors. And then we asked questions about whether or not tumors that had elevated Memo expression, whether or not this was correlated with different subtypes of breast tumors or with different clinical parameters. So in about 23%, we saw elevated Memo, and it was present in both the cytoplasm and in the nucleus. Normally, Memo is present in both compartments of the cell. But then in 14% of the tumors, we saw that Memo was only elevated in the nucleus. And in another 7%, Memo was high only in the cytoplasm. And it was this latter group, that is the group with elevated cytoplasmic Memo, where we observed significant correlations with various characteristics of aggressive breast tumors. And importantly, when we performed a time-dependent survival analysis, the patients whose tumors had elevated cytoplasmic Memo staining had a higher chance of having metastasis or of having died within 5 years of having their tumors removed compared to all of the other groups. And indeed, the patients who had elevated levels of nuclear Memo, these tumors tended to correlate with a better prognosis. So we think it's very interesting, depending on where Memo is localized in the cell, that may then have an impact on its ability to promote metastasis.
So MIMO is more abundant in some of these breast tumor samples. How is the activity or the abundance of MIMO normally controlled?
What we know now is that copper binding is required for MIMO's oxidase activity. So it is possible that MIMO becomes activated as an enzyme when it binds copper. Now, copper homeostasis is tightly controlled since free copper or copper in general has a high potential for causing oxidative stress and cellular damage. And for some copper binding proteins like superoxide dismutase, it has been shown that a copper chaperone delivers copper to the enzyme. And that's important for its activity. Now, we don't know anything yet about how MIMO picks up copper in cells, or even whether or not it's always bound up with copper. This we don't know. So MIMO may be existing in the cell in a copper-free state, and then that would control its activity. Or it may be acting potentially as a chaperone protein. So another mechanism to control its activity might be to control its cellular localization. And in fact, we think it's interesting that when tumors have elevated levels of nuclear MIMO, this tends to correlate with a good prognosis. So potentially, it's kept away from these proteins in the cytoplasm that are important in migration, something that would be very interesting to look at in the future. So what's the nuclear role of MIMO?
Do you have any idea why MIMO is more abundant in some cancer cells? And even within those cancer cells, why in some cases it's more abundant in the nucleus, and some cases it's more abundant in the cytoplasm?
Yeah, so first of all, again, a very interesting question. Its upregulation is unlikely to be due to gene amplification. But we think it's intriguing that there's a paper that was published 2 years ago suggesting that MIMO upregulation might be due to a loss of miR-125b. So this miR is known to be reduced in many cancers, including breast cancer. And a group in Boston identified a putative miR-125b binding site in MIMO and verified that MIMO is, in fact, a miR-125b target. So potentially loss of this miR could lead to MIMO upregulation. Now, with respect to your question about the nuclear localization, MIMO does not have a nuclear import signal, but it does have a nuclear export signal. So we think it's interesting that it can accumulate in some tumors in the nucleus. But we don't know why this happens in these particular tumors. There aren't any mutations of MIMO that have been reported, so one could always say, well, maybe it's got a mutation in the export signal. But this hasn't been reported in primary tumors. And in my lab now, we're trying to make mutants that would stay in the nucleus so that we can see whether that then would have an impact on the biology of a tumor.
Given that MIMO activity is associated with metastasis and poor prognosis, and that MIMO requires copper for its activity, would therapies that limit copper availability potentially be useful in treating those breast tumors that are associated with high cytoplasmic MIMO?
Yeah, so these kind of copper chelators that we talk about in the paper with an abbreviation TM, there is some clinical use of these type of copper chelators. I think that the data is not all in yet on whether or not they're going to have an impact on breast cancer. So there are plenty of proteins that bind copper, and in some preclinical models or some cellular models, it was shown that these copper chelators were targeting superoxide dismutase in the cells, and this in turn was having an influence on the signaling pathway activity of the cells. For example, the ERK pathway was downregulated. So it could be that these copper chelators will be affecting proteins like SOD or potentially MIMO, and in this way have an impact on the biology of a tumor. Actually, they're being used in the clinic, but I'm not aware of any too much data on the outcome of their use in phase, say, 2 or 3 clinical studies.
Dr. Hines, thanks for speaking with me.
Well, thank you very much for your questions.
That was Nancy Hines discussing a paper published in the June 10th issue of Science Signaling by MacDonald and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, Advancing Science, Serving Society. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.